My name's Christine, and I'm going to give the message today. So you can either relax or grit your teeth. Yes, you won't be able to go to sleep. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everyone that you brought today. We thank you, Lord, that you have a good reason for them to be here. And Father, we just ask you now that you will bless the word and be glorified in it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, I was waiting on the Lord this week because I thought I was going to speak. But I wasn't sure until Wednesday night, and then I knew for sure I was going to speak. So I was waiting for a sure word from the Lord. The one thing I have learnt in my walk with the Lord is always wait for a sign or a confirmation, because you can get into a lot of trouble if you don't. And I've had the wonderful privilege of being in a prison in France, and all sorts of situations because I assumed that God was with me. And we can't assume those things. We need his blessed assurance. And so the first time I waited on the Lord, he actually gave me a clear word. And the word was, occupy till I come. And I thought, oh, I don't like that word. Because here in the Middle East, if you say the word occupy, that has such huge repercussions that nobody even wants to say that word occupy. So I told God I didn't like that word, and could he give me another one? And so I waited, and then I woke up early one morning, and very clearly I heard this word. Occupy till I come. So you see, I'm one of these people that I really have to know that I know that this is the right thing. And God knows that that's my personality. So he just made sure that he cleared away my stubbornness and my resistance. And the word for today is occupy till I come. The name of the message is Occupy Till I Come. Now, occupy is not a word that's popular, not here in the Middle East, and in a lot of other places as well. So, when the Lord spoke to me twice and said, Occupy Till I Come, I was extremely uncomfortable. But then I thought about things, and I thought, you know, Jesus wasn't a political person. And so when he said something, he never really meant it to be political. He wasn't interested in political change. Jesus had a passion for people's hearts. And his greatest desire was to draw people to the Father. Yes. He focused on the kingdom of heaven. He taught kingdom values, and he was all about doing the will of the Father. He understood what occupy meant. He never went out of his way to meet with political or religious leaders. But they somehow managed to come to him, and oftentimes to challenge him or to try to trick him in some way. But almost most of Jesus' ministry was spent with the man in the street, the common man, people like you and me, ordinary people, who heard him gladly. That's what the scripture says. And the scripture also says that They sought him out because he always was talking about the kingdom and the Father. And he took them out of their own pain and their own situation, and he pointed them towards the Father. He inspired them. He gave them hope. He somehow was able to take them out of the ordinary of their life and their existence and to push them on to something better. Let's read Luke chapter 4, verse 42 to 44. When it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them, but he said, "No, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in synagogues of Judea. So, Jesus knew exactly his role. He was sure of it. He knew why he had been sent. And whenever he had those moments of doubt, he drew aside and he spent time with the Father. Now, let's look at occupy. I'm going to read two translations from Luke chapter 19, verse 13. The first translation is this: "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. The American Standard Version: Then he called 10 servants of his and gave them 10 pounds and said unto them, Trade herewith until I come. Another translation: And having called 10 servants of his own, he gave them 10 pounds and said to them, Do business till I come. So this is a very proactive order. This is not a sit and fold your hands order. This is an order to get up and do something and be proactive and produce results. This is what God has called us to do as his followers. We are called to be proactive with our faith. We are not called to be bystanders. We are not called to just be listeners. We're called to be proactive. Occupy means to do business. So this nobleman that Jesus is talking about was saying to his servants, put my money to work by either investing the money or purchasing goods and sell them for a profit. He expected them to give back to him more than what he had given them. Do you get the message? Jesus brought you to himself for a reason. He expects you to give a return on your salvation, a return on the gift of life, a return on whatever work you are doing for him. He wants you to produce results. Wow, that's really hard. But that's what he wants, and that's what he expects of you. Jesus expects us to be a body of people who are proactive for him. We're called to use our talents, our minds, and our individual giftings and personalities, as a matter of fact, for the extension of the kingdom of God. I'm going to move away from this. At times we even need to get creative in giving and exchanging our talents with others. And we need to know that he expects us to give back to him more than what we began with. He's expecting growth. He's expecting change. He's expecting you to stretch. He's expecting you to go deeper. He's expecting you to excel. That's a lot of pressure. God wants us to be fruitful. He doesn't like trees with one miserly piece of fruit on it. He expects trees that are full of fruit. He wants growing, strong Christians. We may find ourselves being occupied by tasks that sometimes that we consider time-consuming and useless. But in the eyes of God, the master of kingdom values, he sees it as an opportunity to prepare us for the kingdom of God. God is calling each of us to be an undeniable touch of God in people's lives for his sake. Did you get that? This is my original sentence. It's a Christine sentence. I'll say it again. God is calling each of us to be an undeniable touch of God in people's lives for his sake. That's what's called being occupied. I have a secret life. I have this man in my life called Motti. He's about, what would you say, Mikey? 50? He's married. I think like 4 kids, 8 grandchildren. I don't know, they just had another Brit. He wears a kippah. He's a very religious person. And he's the handyman of French Hill. Motti Amiel is his name. And Motti and I have gotten to know each other over the years. And he discovered that my kids were the first Christian kids to go to this particular school in French Hill. And he was astounded by that. He put up all the shelves in our apartment. He's repaired our boiler and he's done all sorts of things in our apartment. I've called him on numerous occasions as the vadbite, the come and fix things in the middle of the night and all sorts of broken pipes and water rushing off the roof. And Motti always turns up. And then I started visiting people. And I'd call Motti. Motti, are you free? Why? What do you want now? Motti, I'm at a Holocaust survivor's house and they have no hot water. Can you come? Oh, Christine, couldn't you call anyone else? No, Motti, I know you'll do the job. And Motti would come. And he'd fix the boiler. And he'd say to me, who's paying for this? And I'd look at him. And he'd look at me. And then he would turn to the survivor and say, consider this a gift. And I'd shake his hand. Motti and I have been friends for over 30 years. And we've built this relationship. And then he turned the tables on me. You see, he now calls me. And he says, Christine, I was in someone's house fixing something for them. They're so poor, Christine. They hardly have anything. They're so miserable. Could you visit them? Could you arrange some food vouchers? Could you find them some furniture? So Motti and I have built this secret relationship where he helps me and I help him stay occupied. It's a marvelous thing when you begin to get occupied for the kingdom's sake and for kingdom values. Now, Rivka's another one. She's the vadbite of the building next door to me. Rivka and I did not hit it off well the first time. You see, because both her and her husband were newly religious, they'd both grown up in secular families, they'd both gone to the army, they'd both gone to Rene Kassan, the most Zionist-focused school in Jerusalem, and they suddenly decided to become religious. Not only did they decide to become religious, they decided to become missionary religious. And they made it a project that they would bring religion to French Hill. And they bought an apartment in the building next to ours. And the first day I met them, they told us that they were religious and that I probably should move out of the building. At that point, her husband opened his wallet because I was turning on the sprinklers for the grass, and it was Friday afternoon, and he said, "What? How much money do you want to not water the garden on a Friday?" And I said, "You don't have enough in that wallet." So we locked horns right away. But you see, God has wonderful ways to change people's hearts. Things started going wrong in their building. The lift started breaking, the pipes started seizing up, the sewers blocked up, and all sorts of disastrous things started happening after they became the vadbite. And they had to turn to the Christian in the building next door and ask them, "Who can fix things for us?" I let them think that there was no one that could fix their problem. But eventually they begged me, and I happened to find the person that was right for them. That was 7 years ago. And now Rivka and I are best buddies. She called me on Wednesday and said, "Christine, I'm falling apart getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. I hate my husband and my children, and I've started smoking. And I need to have 4 lights in the building fixed and a door lock on the roof. And everyone's complaining to me, and I just don't have the energy. Could you do it for me?" And I said, "I'll think about it." I called Motti, and Motti came to the rescue. And on Friday, I was taking him around the building next door, and we were fixing everything. And he said, "This is very strange. Why are you doing this in the building next to you?" And I said, "Rivka's had a breakdown, and she needs help." And he leaned over and put his hand on my shoulder and started to bless me in Hebrew. You see, that's the fruit of staying occupied. Let's look at some of the key verses of the parable. Luke chapter 19, 15 to 26. "When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him saying, 'Lord, your pound has made 10 pounds more.' And he said, 'Well done, good servant. Because you've been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, 'Lord, your pounds have made more pounds.' And he said, 'Have made 5 pounds. And he said to him, 'And you shall be over 5 cities. And then came another saying, 'Lord, here is my pound which you gave me. I kept it, I laid it in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you're a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, you reap what you did not sow.' And he said to him, 'I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the pound from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And he said to him, and they said to him, but Lord, he's already got 10 pounds. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even that shall be taken away. As children of the kingdom of God, we are all being called to step out, take some risks, and give God our talents, our time, our gift, our finances, and to turn over a profit for the kingdom of heaven. God expects us and he wants us to accomplish certain things while we are here on the earth. He didn't send us empty-handed. He sent us all with individual talents and gifts. We just have to figure out what they are. And the most amazing thing about talents and gifts is if you begin to do something or use that little thing that you think you have, suddenly you discover you've got lots of other gifts. In fact, someone may ask you to do something and you'll think, I can't do that. But you do it because there's nobody else. And you discover you can do it, that you do have the ability. Because God never meant for any of you to sit on your hands and let other people bring the kingdom to this world. He wants you, in your frail and weak state, to be his ambassadors for the kingdom of God. I know that many times we find our gifts as we begin to use the ones we're sure of. And then others come flowing in, much to our amazement. All of us from time to time need to stop and to remember that we need to make eternal things a priority in our life. Jesus knew about priorities and he knew about purpose. Jesus knew what to put first, and he knew why he had been sent to earth. And it's these things that he focused on during his ministry. In the first part of Luke chapter 4, 42, we see there that Jesus made his relationship with the Father a priority. This is what it said. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. Jesus knew that he would be worthless in the mission if he was not in constant fellowship with the Father. Jesus knew that he could not serve the Father with all of his strength if he was not in fellowship with the Father. How many times do we just stop and ask him, help us, help me, stretch me, change me? Nothing's better than a new job. You feel embarrassed, you feel uncomfortable. Everyone else knows what to do, but you don't. You're depending on people to show you what to do. But sometimes people are selfish, jealous, they don't want to teach you. And, as they would say in Australian, you have to learn to fly by the seat of your pants. You just have to figure it out. But you discover that you're being stretched, that you're learning to exude patience, that you're learning to show kindness even to those who work against you. This is all about being occupied. Most of us at the end of a long day wouldn't have been like Jesus, gone off to be with the Father. We would have said, I've had a long day, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to relax. I've got a big day tomorrow. I need to get a good night of sleep. But Jesus wasn't like that. He said, I need to spend time with the Father. I need to pray. Do you know really what your purpose is for your life? If you don't, if you're unsure, if you're really seeking God, I really recommend spend some time with the Father. Simply ask Him. Take time to be with Him in His Word. Take time to pray. He gave you talents. He gave you giftings. And He was serious when He said, occupy till I come. He has expectations of everyone, from the smartest to the not so smart. He's expecting us to draw on our talents, on our expertise, on our life lessons to produce results. He clearly and accurately knew what His purpose was. He said, I must preach the kingdom of God. He knew what He was supposed to do. This week, Shimon Peres passed away, 93 years old, the last of the great founders of the state of Israel. This man was like a dog with a bone. He never gave up on the hope of peace. He always clung to it. He was despised for it. He was ridiculed for it. He was grieved by people's reactions to his visionary dreams and expectations. But he outlived them all. He got to meet 10 American presidents. And to think the 10th one was there at Mount Herzl, praising this man of vision. Shimon Peres is a fantastic example of someone who stayed occupied. He stayed occupied, fascinated, and absolutely steadfast in his desire to see a new Middle East. And over 70 heads of states flew in from all over the world to honor him. That's a way to be occupied. The most amazing thing about Shimon Peres was he never talked about the past. He always talked about the future. And he was obsessed with the high-tech industry. And he was obsessed with taking people to see all the new inventions that Israel had come up with. And he loved to brag about them. He always saw tomorrow. And that's why we need to honor His blessed name. Because we need to be thinking about tomorrow also. About that time when we will stand before the Father and He will hold us each one accountable for our own personal actions. And like a good Jew, He'll be saying, how much did you make for the kingdom? How many souls did you win? How many people did you pray with? Jesus is expecting results. I met an incredible man in Australia. In fact, when I was traveling this last time, I met so many amazing people that I came back feeling like I've really got to get my act together. I went to New Zealand and I went to about 10 churches, and these pastors that have the most incredible things going on in their lives. One pastor, there he was standing up introducing me, and he had just had open heart surgery. Another pastor who had lost a child. Another one whose son had had a mental breakdown. Another one who'd been the pastor of the biggest, fastest growing church in his area. And the Lord had spoken to him and told him, I want you to begin a new work. And he had to leave it all behind. Another couple that had no children, that the Lord told them to go buy a big house and take in the homeless. And then I met Tim and his wife, two Aboriginal Indigenous people. And they have fostered 250 children in their home. And they were guest speakers at this conference. And every time I saw Tim in the morning, he looked a wreck. And I'd say, Tim, you're not looking good. What's going on? He said, Christine, you've got to understand. He said, you see, we were given a 3-week-old baby just a couple of months ago. And Di and I have been getting up every 3 hours through the night making the bottle and feeding this baby. And he said, but we've been on this schedule now for nearly 3 months. And he said, and even though I'm in this 5-star hotel and I get to sleep all night, I'm still getting up every 3 hours. And if I'm not getting up, my wife Di is getting up. And she thinks that she's got to make the bottle for the baby. Tim, who is an amazing man, because he's also a pastor. He also has a church. He also has a music ministry. He also works with drug addicts. And he also takes in children constantly. This is a man that understands what being occupied is. And he was an inspiration to me. As I sat on the front row with them, I would see them both nodding off. And he told me, if we nod off, wake us up. And I would kick him, and he'd wake up, and he'd say, thank you, sister. He said that he has a bridge-building ministry. He's building a bridge between the earth and the heavens for people to try to walk on. Well, he inspired me. In a small way, Motti and I are building a bridge. It's a bridge from French Hill. We're building our bridge. We're trying to get people to get on the road to the heavenly. But we can't do it alone. We need people to help us. And God can't do it alone either. He needs the people to be occupied and to return, to make a return on your salvation. Make a return on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Make a return on getting healed. Make a return on having good health. Make a return on having an education. Make a return on having the freedom to worship without fear. Jesus is asking you, where's the interest? And yes, you will stand before him. And some will say, but I prophesied in your name, and it won't mean a hill of beans to Jesus. He's looking for a return. And he's telling all of us, occupy till I come. Can we stand and pray? Maybe there's some of you that really need to dedicate your life again to the Lord and to his purposes. Maybe there are some of you that have just gotten used to being in the back seat and letting other people drive the kingdom bus. But he's expecting each one of you to take that journey on your own, because you will be accountable for your own journey. You will be accountable for your own journey. to occupy till he comes. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, that you'll help each one of us to be fruitful, Lord, to shine for you, Lord, to be your ministering angels to many, Lord, to have that spontaneous ability to reach out and touch lives even when it's not convenient. Lord Jesus, I ask you to stir the gifts up that are within every single person here today. Turn them around, Lord. Use them to be fruitful for the kingdom, for the hour is late. In Jesus' name, amen.